All right. Thank you, Mrs. Kinese. I want to make one correction, maybe addition to this morning's message. Ephesians 1:19, and then we'll get into tonight's message, says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" Really, that's not just the greatness of his power at salvation, but there's an "is" there, present tense. You know, we have that really that is at salvation, but that greatness of his power continues on through the rest of our Christian lives. So just wanted to say that tonight. If you could take your Bibles and turn to Hosea chapter 14. We're going to be looking at the final two verses this evening. Really, the last verse of this book, in a sense, gives a summary or a theme that you find throughout the entire book of Hosea, as we see the ways of the Lord presented in this book. And as I mentioned last Sunday night, you know, we can either experience who God is because we obey Him and experience His blessing, or we can experience the ways of the Lord from the standpoint of disobedience and experiencing the judgment or the chastening of God upon our lives. And throughout the book of Hosea, we see Israel experiencing the judgment, beginning to experience that judgment, and also hearing the judgment of God forecasted because they did not walk in the ways of the Lord. Notice what it says in verse number 8 as we see a change in Ephraim's life, in Israel's life. "Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols?" Then we have the Lord speaking, "I have heard him and observed him." Then Ephraim, "I am like a green fir tree." And then from the Lord here, "From me is thy fruit found." So here in the first part of verse 8, we have a complete turnabout as Ephraim realizes the trouble, the anguish that her idols had brought upon her. "What have I to do anymore with idols?" What had her idolatry brought but the judgment of God upon her? And we find here a complete turning to the Lord, a renunciation of idolatry, finally recognizing what this idolatry had brought in her life. Idolatry. You know, it's interesting, looking in the book of Ezekiel talks about, you know, the idols of their heart. You know, we like to think, boy, we're pretty good because we don't have, you know, any idols in our lives. But many times our idols are idols that we have set up within our own heart. You know, things in our own lives that are taking the place that God should have in our lives. And Ephraim, through a long course of events, had to come to realize, and obviously much of this is speaking of the future, "What have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him." Then it says here, "I am like a green fir tree." We find here, we looked at last week, the true beauty that was going to come to Israel as they submitted themselves to the Lord. The blessing that was going to come upon Israel. In verse number 6, "his branches," or end of verse 5, "and cast forth his roots as Lebanon," all right, the cedars of Lebanon. "His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon," all right, that refresh, those refreshing flowers, that fragrance that comes about. And Israel, as they committed themselves to the ways of the Lord, there was going to be a beauty, there was going to be a fragrance about their lives, about the nation. Then the end of the verse, "from me is thy fruit found." Now the fir tree is not a tree that would be known, or the cedar tree, a tree that would be known for its fruit. All right? And another reminder here that where is fruitfulness found? Well, it is found in the Lord. Our beauty is found in Him, but our fruitfulness is found in Him. And as Israel, again, was submitting themselves to the ways of God, their nation was going to be something that produced real fruit. Really, it applies to us as believers this evening. You know, if we're going to have real fruit in our lives, we must submit ourselves to God's ways. And in verse number 9, we find really the conclusion to this whole book. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. It says, but the transgressors shall fall therein. For the ways of the Lord are right. There's two responses to the ways of the Lord that we see here. There is one of obedience, one of following, one of walking in them, and there is one of disobedience, of transgressing, and instead of experiencing the blessing, there is the falling. There is a stumbling that takes place. As we go through the book of Hosea, I'd like to look at Israel's response to the ways of the Lord. If we go back, and we're just going to take a brief overview of some of the things that take place in the book of Hosea as it illustrates this last verse of the book. Hosea chapter 2, and we'll go from the beginning, near the beginning, and go through the end. Hosea chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. It says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to find my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. What did God here have to do to Israel? Because she was going after the wrong lovers. And he said, I'm going to put a hedge of thorns. And you know, this is something that we can, you know, I guess pray for somebody that's doing wrong. Pray the Lord will put a hedge of thorns in their pathway, that they'll begin experiencing, in a sense, the pain of their sin, so that they'll what? Return back to God. I know it was Dr. S.M. Davis that pointed that out as we were talking with him at the table. But that hedge of thorns, all right, experiencing the prick, so to speak, of the Lord as they were going in the wrong direction. Verses 8 through 10, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness, and now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. So we're finding Israel here experiencing the ways of God as they transgressed. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. So again, Israel experiencing the repercussions of her actions. The righteous, the just, shall walk in the ways of the Lord, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Hosea chapter 5, verse 4. Says, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Says, and the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. So here again, we find them experiencing the repercussions of their sin. And as God says, they are going to fall in their iniquity. Verse number 10 of the same chapter. The princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound. Therefore I will what? Pour out my wrath upon them like water. Verses 14 through 15. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. You know, this evening, we can either choose to walk in the ways of the Lord. We can either choose that life of progression in God's pathways, or we can be a transgressor, and instead of the way of the Lord progressing in our lives and we walking down that pathway, those steps, as one commentator I read says, like stepping stones. And those that are walking, you know, they are what? They are, didn't necessarily put it exactly this way, but those stepping stones are things that are helpful in going forward. But those that are not bent on obeying God's word, what do those stepping stones in a sense become? Instead of objects that help us to go forward, we then trip over them and fall. Are we committed to God's ways? Hosea chapter 7 and verse 4 says, they are all adulterers as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. Then verse 8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. All right, we spoke of that. I mean, you know, how many of us like eating pancakes that are only cooked on one side? All right, not a very tasty thing. Not something that we just look forward to. All right, it's something, you know, gross to look upon and also to eat. It says, verse 9, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. All right, does not understand here the ways of the Lord. Unfortunately, many times people, when they are in their sin, don't even recognize where they are. They don't even see the point of life that they are in. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. So they're falling. Transgressors shall what? Shall fall therein. And yet they don't even know it. They don't even realize it. Verses 12 and 13 of the same chapter. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. Again, it says, destruction unto them, what? Because they have transgressed against me. As we go through the book of Hosea, hopefully you have grabbed a hold of the ways of the Lord and how he operates in his dealings with his people. Chapter 8 and verse 3, Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. Notice the result. The enemy shall pursue him. You know, folks, tonight our actions have consequences. You know, God operates in a particular fashion. And as we need to align ourselves with his ways instead of going our own way. In verses 6 through 7, for from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it is not God, referring to their idol, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, notice the result, and they shall reap the what? The whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. So here again, you know, the just shall walk in them. You know, think of sowing and reaping. You sow the seeds of righteousness, you sow to the you sow spiritual life. All right, you sow the right things, and you're going to reap what? You're going to reap life everlasting, it talks about in Galatians. You sow to the flesh, and you're going to have the flesh reap what? Corruption. All right, and here, Israel, sowing to the wind, what do they reap? Reap the whirlwind. All right, they sow to the flesh, they shall of the flesh reap corruption. And you see here the ways of the Lord illustrated. Are you going to align your life with God's ways and experience the blessing, the life everlasting, or the opposite, reap the corruption that is associated with sowing to the flesh? In the same chapter, verse 14, it says, "For Israel hath forgotten his Maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities." All right, so they're living their own life, you know, seeking to protect themselves, but they have forgotten God. And it says, "But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof." You know, we can seek to build our empire, so to speak. You know, somebody can have great goals in life, but when they leave God out of the goals that they have set, God can take those very things that they think they have accomplished and bring them to nothing just like that. And that is why it's so important for us in our lives to make sure God is at the center of what we are doing. You know, it's so easy to kind of, you know, push God out, to kind of have our own plans, our own schedules, our own things we're going to do. But yet, we need to remember the ways of the Lord. "And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities." You know, here, protection, walled cities. Hey, we're going to be safe from the enemy. But what does God say? "I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof." Chapter 9, verse 10 through 12. It says, "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first stripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim," notice, "their glory shall fly away like a bird." Well, what happened? They separated themselves unto the shamefulness of this false religion, of this false god. "They shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb, and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them." Here again, one of the signs of the blessings of the Lord was childbirth. But God was going to what? God was going to take their blessing away. Why? Because they had transgressed. They had gone after the things that they loved rather than walking in the ways of the Lord. In chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, "They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant." Notice the result. "Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field." In verses 12 and 13 of the same chapter, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he what? Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of thy mighty men." And also verse 14, "Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Bethrabel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In the morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off." You know, if Israel would have realized the full extent of her actions, and you wonder, would she have changed what she chose to do? You know, "The just shall walk in the ways of the Lord, but the transgressors shall fall therein. They plowed wickedness," it says, "they reaped iniquity." Again, they reaped what they sowed. Another illustration, chapter 11, verses 6 through 7. It says, "And the sword shall abide in his cities and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him." All right, again, they are too interested in their own lives and doing their own thing. There was no room for exalting God in their lives. There was only room for exalting their own plans, for exalting their own wishes. They were bent to backsliding from the God of heaven. Chapter 13 and verse 9, this is the last one here we'll look at. What does it say? "O Israel, thou hast what? Thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help." So we have these very many negative examples throughout the book of Hosea that illustrate the fact that the transgressors shall fall therein. You know, where are you going to put your life as we look at the ways of the Lord? Are you going to recognize that His ways, as it says in Psalm 18 and verse 30, God's ways are perfect? Read that verse for us. "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." You know, where have you chosen to align your life? Do you really, truly believe tonight that God's way is perfect? You know, as the song says, "I have decided to follow Jesus." You know, no turning back. No turning back. Recognizing that that is the only way that is worth living. God's way is perfect. There is nothing incomplete about it. It is the fullest way, so to speak, the way of blessing that we can experience in our lives. In Hosea 6 and verse 1 through 3, I guess I shouldn't say the last example, but that would have been the last negative, we have a positive example. Notice what it says here, Hosea 6. It says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn, and He will what? He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us, and the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." So here, a picture of God's blessing upon them as they what? As they are revived by God, as they what? They follow on to what? To know the way of the Lord. You know, how do you know the way of the Lord? Well, you know the way of the Lord by what? By following it. By experiencing it. And see, here in Hosea 14, it's not just talking about, you know, a head knowledge of knowing God's ways. But notice what it says, "For the ways of the Lord are right." Well, first of all, "Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall what? He shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right and the what? The just shall walk in them." It's not just about knowing them, but it is about doing them. Walking, it is advancing in the ways of the Lord. You know, when you're walking, you don't just stand in one place and go nowhere, you know. That's walking in place. It's the idea there's a pathway that you are following. You are going forward. You know, if you're not going anywhere, then you're not walking in the ways of the Lord. You know, if you're going to be walking in the ways of the Lord, there's going to be an advance that takes place. There is going to be a pathway that is going forward. And if we're sitting idle, if we're not doing anything, if we're not going anywhere, then we need to examine our lives and see, you know what, I am not walking in the ways of the Lord. And in Hosea chapter 6, there's the blessing that was going to come as Israel did what? If we follow on to know the Lord. All right, here, as they move forward in knowing God, His going forth is prepared as the morning. And there, and then it talked about the former and the latter rain. Here it says, who is wise and he shall understand these things. If we are going to experience, if we are going to follow in the ways of the Lord, there's two kinds of people, the Bible says, that are going to be the kinds of people that go in the ways of the Lord. It speaks of the wise here, and it speaks of the prudent. Prudent here is the same word actually. It says, and who is wise and he shall understand these things, all right? There is a be able to separate mentally. There is an understanding. That's the idea of behind prudence, wisdom or wise, idea of skill. So one of skill, who is wise, has the knowledge necessary to have a particular skill, and he shall understand these things. Prudent, or a person of understanding, and he shall know them. As we think about who is wise, and he shall understand these things. All right. In other words, is the wise that are going to be able to understand the ways of the Lord. A good example of this occurs in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, Asaph experienced a change of direction in his life. Verse 1, he says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So here, Asaph gets away from the ways of the Lord. He lapses into a period of, might we say, foolishness, as he got away from true wisdom. But as he got back into the way of true wisdom, verse number 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then what? Then understood I their end. All right, so in other words, there is a place where we are going to gain this wisdom, this understanding that is necessary to understand the ways of the Lord in our lives. You know, you can't just live out in the world, do your own thing, and expect to understand the pathway of righteousness. Asaph got his eyes off of God. He put his eyes on the world, and what happened? The ways of the Lord and how God operated was lost to him. It looked like, boy, this doesn't make sense. I mean, these people are prospering and they should be getting judged. I mean, what's wrong with this? I mean, maybe it's not, you know, worth it to live for God anymore. I mean, these people seem to be doing great. And he began to lose his wisdom. He began to lose his understanding of God's ways, and he'd return back to the sanctuary, to the place of the holiness of God, to the presence of God, so he could have the wisdom that was necessary to make the right decisions in life. You know, that's why it's so important for us to be in God's Word. That's why it's so important for us to be in God's house, so we can have that wisdom, so we can be in the place, and so we can be in the presence of God, gaining the right perspective. And then he understands, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. So he realized, you know what, their life, yes, there is an apparent prosperity that is taking place, but all that is going to be gone. Just like that. And he gained the understanding, the knowledge that was necessary to again walk in the ways of the Lord. But it just doesn't happen. It takes us being in the presence of God. It takes us being in the Word of God. It takes us getting, you know, the right kind of godly counsel so we can understand the ways of the Lord. You know, some people, you can give them counsel as well, and they just don't get it. You know, you've probably, you know, you've been out on soul winning, you've talked to people, and they just don't see it. They just don't understand the ways of the Lord. They just, I mean, you're sitting there thinking, boy, why doesn't this person get this? Why don't they understand it? It seems so clear to me. Why don't they understand it? Well, they don't have that wisdom. They don't have that understanding that will allow them to make the right decision. And that's obviously where we need the illuminating of the Holy Spirit, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. Because to the transgressor, boy, I mean, God's ways don't make sense. They seem unequal. You know, as it says in the, I believe it's the book of Hosea, where they're saying, you know, God, your way, or maybe it's in Ezekiel, or your ways aren't equal. God says, no, I'm not the one that's unequal. You're the one that's unequal. And so we find that in order to have this wisdom, this prudence, it takes us being in the presence of God, being in the place as Asaph, as he returned to the sanctuary of God and was able to gain the right perspective. In John chapter 7, you know, why do some people not know the way of God? Why do they struggle in just not having that understanding that they need to go forward in the ways of the Lord? You know, they're waiting, so to speak, to get some moment in their life that they can, boy, okay, now I understand. That's what I need to do. Well, what did Christ say in John chapter 7, verse 17? It says, if any man will do his will, he shall what? He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And so it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know. Now, where does this knowledge, where does this wisdom, this understanding come from to know the ways of the Lord? Well, it comes from a heart of obedience. You know, if you are looking for excuses, if you are looking for reasons not to obey God, you'll probably come up with some. You'll probably in your flesh or amongst your circle of friends, if they're the wrong ones, find some reason why you shouldn't obey God. And what is necessary is a heart, is a will that desires to do God's will. And when we have that will to do God's will, that is the key to knowing the doctrine, to knowing what is correct, to knowing the ways of the Lord in our lives. In, let's turn over to Psalm 145. It says in verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Here again, we find where does this drawing near to the Lord take place? Well, to all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. You know, are we entering the presence of God? Are we realizing that God is righteous in all his ways? He is holy in all of his works? Or are we like Asaph? We've gotten our eyes on the wrong things, and now things seem confusing. You know, we've lost that understanding, that ability to be able to separate things mentally, to have that discernment that is needed to make the right decisions in our lives. You know, it's easy to make the wrong decisions. It's easy to lose that sharpness, that ability to discern between right and wrong. And it happens as we get our eyes on the wrong things, as we leave the presence of God, as we begin to live our lives independently, on our own, instead of waiting upon the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 2, find another New Testament illustration of this verse. verse number 7, says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient," notice what the opposite of faith is here. The opposite of faith is disobedience. But unto them which be disobedient, "the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." And a what? "A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which" what? "Which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So here we have a great illustration of this verse. To them which believed the gospel, these things are made what? These things are made clear. But to those who disobeyed, they what? They stumble. This is something they stumble at. This is offensive to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24 gives a similar outlook. Notice what it says, 1 Corinthians 1, 23. Says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a what? A stumbling block. And unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." You know, we can either choose to believe God. You know, to those that believe, that obey the gospel, you know, there's a what? There's a clearness. There's understanding that comes. But those that reject it, you know, the gospel to them is what? It's foolishness. It's offensive. You know, but as we continue on in our Christian life, we can continue to either believe and follow God's plan for our lives, or we can choose to disobey and experiencing the stumbling that will take place in our lives as we choose to reject God's ways. You know, the book of Hosea is a classic illustration of God's ways. You know, and the children of Israel experienced the ways of the Lord. But unfortunately, most of them stumbled in the pathway and they fell. You know, tonight, are we going to be people of wisdom, people of prudence, which requires us to be in the book of wisdom, gaining our ability to discern from God's word, putting ourselves in an environment where we're going to receive godly counsel, where we're not going to get our eyes off on the wrong things that are going to distract us from what God's plan is for our lives. You know, the way of the Lord is right. The ways of the Lord are right. And the just, the righteous, will walk in them. And they will progress forward. And they will experience the blessing of the Lord. They will see that His ways are perfect. But for those that choose to get off the pathway and go a different direction, they will experience the stumbling, the falling that takes place. I'm sure many of us have seen illustrations of this in our lives. You may have a friend, you may have a relative. You know, you may have maybe not a friend or relative, but somebody that you know, you know, that has departed from the ways of the Lord, from walking in His ways. And you've seen them stumble, seen them fall, seen maybe God's judgment or His chastisement come upon them. You know, tonight, are we going to have that wisdom, that prudence, that discernment, that understanding that is necessary to know God's ways? And we can't just sit around, think, oh, it's going to come, you know. Ask Moses, just stick the Bible next to our head, and, you know, there's less of it in our heads and more of it here, so it's just going to kind of gradually filter over. You know, it's not just going to happen. It takes decisions. It takes decisiveness. You know, what did it take for Asaph? He had to make the decision to what? To go into the sanctuary of God. If he never would have went there, what would have happened in his life? You know, he had to make a positive decision in his life to go somewhere so he could get in the place, in the spot where he could understand the ways of the Lord. You know, we can't just be anywhere and expect to see God's ways in our life. You know, young people, you're going to be faced with important decisions in your life. You better make sure you're in the right place so God can direct you in His ways so that your life does not become a life of stumbling. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these examples of Scripture that you've given to us. Lord, for our admonition, that we might have hope in our lives. Lord, we thank you tonight that your ways are perfect. Lord, many times, Lord, your ways are not our ways, or your thoughts our thoughts, but your ways are perfect. Lord, I pray tonight that each one of us would reconsider our own ways and see, Lord, if we are going in your way or if we've gone off on some other trail. Lord, may we be that just person, that righteous one, Lord, that has the wisdom, the understanding, the will to walk in your ways. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I wonder, has God spoken to your heart? I wonder tonight, is your life in the place where you can have that understanding and that wisdom that is necessary so you can know the way of the Lord? You know, our lives are so busy and we can forsake really the thing that is most important. Why is it so important to spend that time with God? To place an importance on being at every service that we can. So we can be in the place where we can have the wisdom that is necessary to choose the way of the Lord. It doesn't just come. And I wonder tonight, has God spoken to your heart? Maybe you have gotten away from that place where you will have the wisdom and the understanding so that you can see that the ways of the Lord are right and that you will walk in them and progress forward. Is there anyone like that tonight who would say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart in that area? All right, is there anyone else tonight? All right, I wonder, this evening, you know, maybe it's the fact that you don't have the will to do His will. Maybe you've gotten so far from God that, boy, that desire is not there. Maybe your need tonight is salvation. You say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has shown me my need of salvation tonight. Is there anyone like that tonight that says, you know, I need, what I need tonight is salvation? Anyone this evening? All right, I wonder this evening, have you been progressing forward? You know, you might think, yeah, I'm doing God's ways. I mean, that's what I'm committed to, but there hasn't been any progression. Well, then you're not walking in the ways of the Lord. There's not any progression forward. And you see tonight that your need tonight is to begin following the ways of the Lord and not just standing still, but making movement forward in your life. You say, you know, the Lord has spoken to my heart about my need not just to stay stagnant, not just to kind of stay in one spot, but to go forward for God. He said, I am truly walking in His ways. Is there anyone like that tonight? All right, is there anyone else tonight, Lord, spoken to your heart? All right, let's bow in prayer. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, this would be a reminder to us. Lord, we all need to be reminded, Lord, that your ways are right, that our actions have consequences. And Lord, we can seek to live our lives outside of your working, but Lord, we can never run from you. We're still going to experience your ways. We're either going to follow them or we're going to stumble in them. And Lord, those that have you've spoken to their hearts tonight, may you give them the strength that they need to make that decision and to carry it out in their lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.